Thanks for downloading this podcast from Burghead Free Church in Moray, Scotland. We exist to know Jesus and make Jesus known. Our vision is to grow to be a vibrant all-age church of 100 disciples. Find out more at burgheadfreechurch.org.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Well, wherever you go these days, there is a phrase that I don't think you can escape. It is the phrase, build back better. Maybe you are already sick of hearing it, in which case, I'm sorry, you're going to hear it again this morning. You might remember when the Prime Minister had all the leaders of the G7 countries over. He was making a big song and dance about the need to build back better. And Boris said that Biden had nicked the phrase from him. But they were both wrong. The truth is that phrase, build back better, was first used in 2004 by the United Nations in a video about how to do reconstruction following earthquakes. Anyway, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. This year might not have been an earthquake, but the COVID pandemic has shaken us, hasn't it? It's shaken the whole world, and that includes us here in Burghead. And now wherever you go, whichever TV station you put on, you cannot move for politicians telling us that we need to build back better. It's true in Scotland as well. Last year, the First Minister gave a speech at a party conference entitled Building Back Better for Scotland. And she said, Scotland, indeed the whole world, is heading for a period of change and renewal not seen in decades. Now, I can understand very much why some people might feel a bit sceptical about politicians and their sound bites. Some might even feel a bit suspicious about building back better and what's really going on there. But leaving all that aside, I want today to leave aside the political soundbites and to ask a question that's much more real and much closer to home for you, for all of us. It's true, isn't it, that nations and governments have been hugely disrupted by the pandemic. And it's true that this disruption, I suppose, is an opportunity for countries to rethink things. But I guess all of that is also true for every single one of us. Truth is, your life has been hugely disrupted. Things have changed beyond all recognition for you. And just like those nations and governments and big organizations, you've got new challenges and big changes coming in the future. And so even if we don't want to talk about the soundbites of the politicians, the truth is that right now, I reckon we all have an opportunity to reassess life and maybe to think about what kind of life it is that we're building. We're a bit back to square one at the minute, aren't we? And you know, I reckon this may be the best opportunity you ever get in life to think carefully about what kind of life it is that you're building. I mentioned a few politicians this morning and their speeches. Of course, the trouble with politicians is that they're human, just like us. They don't always manage to build things back better. Just go and look at Afghanistan at the minute. We're not always sure that we can trust their words. And so this morning, I've said enough about politicians. We're not going to look at any speech that they've made. We're actually going to look this morning at a little bit of what is the most famous speech ever given, not by a politician, but by Jesus. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount, and even if you've never gone to church, I reckon you've probably heard of it. And that sermon, that speech, it contains some of Jesus' most famous teachings. So for example, in the sermon, he said things like, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Or blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In the speech, he says that anyone who wants to be his follower needs to live a distinctive and a different life. He called it being the salt of the earth, which is another phrase that's entered our vocabulary, isn't it? In his speech, he also took some of the famous Ten Commandments, God's law in the Old Testament, and he applied them to us today. For example, he said, you've heard it said by people long ago, you shall not murder, and that anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. In the sermon, he also warned about the dangers of being a religious hypocrite. He spoke about the perils of adultery. He told his followers that they needed to have a heart change so great that they would even love their enemies. He told us not to be unduly worried about material possessions on earth, instead to be concerned about spiritual things, treasure in heaven. And maybe you've heard that phrase as well. His speech contains so much famous teaching. I reckon that even if you don't normally go to church, you've probably heard some of it. And if you grew up in the Sunday school, which I guess some of you did, you've probably heard lots of it. Anyway, right at the end of his sermon, he gives a few warnings. For example, he says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through that. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that lead to life. In other words, Jesus knows that lots of people have heard of him. Lots of people will hear his teaching. But he says not that many will really listen. And so Jesus says, and these are his words, not mine, that those who don't listen to him will be in danger of judgment. Jesus is a straight-talking kind of guy. Anyway, right at the very, very end of the sermon, he finishes pretty much with the words that Lindsay read for us. It's a little story, we call it a parable, about these two builders. One is wise and one is foolish. And the point is that every one of us is represented by one or other of these builders. Now, the parable is not very hard to understand, and you're all intelligent people looking at you. So even if it's new, I reckon you've probably worked out what Jesus is saying. Let me read it again. It's very short. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, you know, of course, this parable is not really about house construction, which is good because I know absolutely nothing about that. It's about the kind of life that we are building. And Jesus says there are basically just two choices. Either you're hearing Jesus' words and putting them into practice, in which case you're like the wise man building his life on a firm foundation that will withstand the storms to come, or you're not. Now, if you're not listening and obeying Jesus, you're either ignoring him completely, and I guess if we're honest, there are lots of folks around us who do that. Or even if you're not ignoring him completely, maybe you are kind of hearing his teaching, but you're not acting on it. And according to Jesus, that is just as bad, maybe even worse than not hearing it at all. And so, by the way, if you do come to church with us regularly, please don't make the mistake of thinking this passage or this service is only for the sake of newcomers. Because Jesus says it's possible to listen to his teaching regularly, like every week, like what we do together over there. And yet if we don't act on it, we'll end up no better off at all. Now listen, whoever you are, whether you're new or not, I reckon there's two questions that you might have about all of this. See if I can guess what your questions are. Here's the first one I think you might have. You might think, oh, is this just some dry, burdensome religious rules then that Jesus says we've got to keep? You know, some of Jesus' teaching frankly sounds pretty hard, like loving your enemies and not being a hypocrite, working hard to be morally pure. In his sermon, Jesus said, it's not just things like violence or murder that are out, but that we shouldn't even harbor hatred in our hearts towards others. If that's the kind of life that Jesus wants to build, you might say, man, this sounds pretty tough. Is this just a bunch of dry, burdensome religious rules to keep? Because frankly, who wants that? But if we think that way, we've got Jesus all wrong. The point of the parable is that the life built on Jesus, the life that obeys him, is anything but stuffy and dull and dry religion. It's actually the good life. It's actually how life works best because God made us. And it's also the way of life that helps us to stand firm in the face of all the storms, all the difficulties that come to us. Listen, those people I know who follow Jesus wholeheartedly are the most exciting people I know. They have joy in a world that's often full of despair. They've got purpose in a world where lots of people feel like things are meaningless. They've got direction in a world that frankly seems confusing. And they have a kind of deep sense of security in belonging to God's family in a world where we're losing all sense of who we are. Now, a life built on Jesus will not be free of storms and difficulties, but it is a life that will stand firm in the face of those difficulties. But anyway, here's the second question I think you might be asking. You hear Jesus say that if we want to build our life on him, we need to listen and obey his teaching. And if you know anything about the Christian faith, I think you might be thinking, hang on a minute. I thought Christianity was all about having faith in Jesus to be forgiven. I thought it was about faith and forgiveness, not obedience. And if you think that, you're right. Or at least you're partly right. It is certainly true that all of us need God's forgiveness. Why? Because you know in your heart of hearts, just as I do, that we've let him down. That we've ignored him. We've disobeyed him. We've pushed him out of life. We've kind of wanted to run our life our own way. If you like, that is the tragedy of the human condition. God made us. He gave us life. He told us how to live. But we said no thanks. We pushed him away. The Bible calls that sin. Sin is the ways that we break God's law. And let's be honest, you don't have to look very far in our world to find a world that is infected with sin. From Taliban extremists to corrupt or selfish politicians. This week, a murderer on the run was caught in Elgin. And I saw people crying foul on social media as a sex criminal escaped jail. You don't have to look very far to find a world full of sin. But here's the problem. When it comes to sin, it's really easy for us to wind up thinking that sin exists out there. It's just out there in the big name criminals and in other people. But of course, the truth and the reality is that it's also much closer to home. Yeah, it is out there, but let's be honest. There's a good amount of it in here as well. Now, I don't think we have any homicidal maniacs here this morning. And if we do, welcome. But let's get real. When Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, is your heart always pure? Man, I know mine's not. And when Jesus said, don't be a hypocrite, religious or otherwise, are you always free of hypocrisy? I know I'm not. And when Jesus said, don't be angry and love your enemies, when Jesus says, love God more than your money, are we innocent of all these things? Oh, I know I'm not. See, the real problem is that God is perfect and pure. He can't be near people like me who are stained with sin. In fact, because God is just, he actually must punish sin. It's part of him being good. But here's the thing, he's also loving. And he wants to rescue you and me from the ways we have messed up life. He wants to remove from us the judgment that, frankly, we deserve. And he wants us to build our lives back better on him. The wonderful truth is that that is exactly why Jesus came. So shortly after he said these words, after he gave this most famous speech ever, he went to die on a cross. And just before he did that, he explained what his death was all about. He had some friends round for a meal. He poured a cup of wine that represented the blood he was about to shed. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Do you see how it works? We're all guilty of sin. Sin must be paid for because God is just. But God is also loving. And so he came in the person of Jesus to take the punishment that you and I deserved so our sin could be paid for, so that we could be completely forgiven, washed clean of all sin and guilt and all the rest of it. So yes, to get back to your question that I think you might be asking, yes, Christianity is absolutely all about faith in Jesus, because only those who put their faith in Jesus, only those who say yes to him, can find that forgiveness. It's not about doing good things, certainly not about doing religious things to earn God's favor. No, you're right. It is about faith. But here's the thing. I reckon there are at least three kinds of faith. First of all, there's no faith. We just carry on as we are, ignoring God. But next, there's what you might call fake faith. We might hear the teaching of Jesus. We might even come to church, maybe even every week. But we never really say yes to him in our hearts. We never really confess our sins to him. We never really receive him as our savior. And just like Jesus says, we never really put his teaching into practice in life. We might look very good. We might look incredibly religious, but our faith, in effect, is fake, and it will not save us. So there's no faith, there's fake faith, but here's the final option, fruitful faith. This is the kind of faith that the man had who built his house on the rock. He said yes to Jesus, he received from Jesus forgiveness for his sin. We might say he received Jesus as his savior, but it didn't stop there. His faith changed him. It was fruitful. In other words, new habits and new thoughts and new actions grew out of his faith. He began to show love even to his enemies. He began to embrace purity and leave behind his lust. He began to love God more than his comfort or his cash or his lifestyle. And real faith is always like that. It changes us for good. Which means that real faith in Jesus is the best way to live life now. But there is one last thing I need to say, because it's not just about life now. It's not just about building back better for now. It's also about the future. It's about this life, but it's also about the next life. Let's finish with a last look at the parable. Don't forget, it's printed on your sheet if you want to follow along. Notice that the storms came on the houses when they had been built. Now, so far, I've kind of suggested that those storms represent the storms of life, right? And that's partly true. Suffering, bereavement, depression, financial worries, whatever it is, life is full of storms. You don't need me to tell you that. And it is true that a life lived following Jesus is a life that's much better equipped to weather those kind of storms. Believe me, I see this firsthand a lot. Because of my role, I spend time regularly sitting and speaking with people who are suffering. Maybe they've lost a loved one. And believe me, it makes all the difference in the world to know that if their deceased relative trusted in Jesus, they're now safely with him in heaven. Or maybe they're facing real suffering of their own. And again, believe me, I've seen it. In those stormy life moments, it makes all the difference in the world to know that life is not just random and that there is a good God in control, even if we can't really understand his plan at that time. In other words, following Jesus most certainly equips us, like nothing else, to navigate the good and the bad of life in the here and now. But here's the last thing I need to tell you. In the Bible, water and storms almost always represent something else as well. I've got to be honest with you, they also represent God's judgment. Jesus is saying that the only way to survive not just the storms of life now, but actually the only way ultimately to be taken safely through the storm of God's judgment is to trust in him. To be a Christian who has Jesus as your savior. Because those who trust in Jesus need never, ever fear God's judgment, because Jesus has already taken it away from them. We need to wrap up. This strange time we've been living through, I think maybe, I say maybe, I don't know the future. I hope there's not another pandemic next year. But it may be the best opportunity you get. It might be the only time in your life where there's a kind of great stop and an opportunity to think and reset. It may be the best opportunity you get to reassess what kind of life we're all building. Ask yourself, what do you want to do with your sin? Do you want to keep it yourself and face God's judgment? Or will you give it to Jesus, who can take it away and instead bring you life and forgiveness? But let me say too, what kind of faith will you have? Even if you say you have faith in Jesus, will you really have no faith? Will you have a kind of fake faith that listens to what he says but kind of ignores it? Or will you have a fruitful faith that receives Jesus as your savior and lives the good life, the best life, both now and in the future with him as your Lord? Thanks so much for listening. If you're here for the first time, you might be thinking, my goodness, I've no idea about any of this. It's all kind of new to me. Let me say, that's okay. And the best thing I could encourage you to do would be to come back again. I can't promise we'll be in the sunshine every week, but we meet in the building just across the way there. You know where we are. We open the Bible. We look at it together. We see what we think God is saying to us through it. We do that every week. It's just like this. We'd love to invite you to come back again. And let me leave you with that question. Will you build back better? And will you build your life on Jesus? Let's pray again, shall we? Maybe let's just have a moment of quiet to reflect and to think, perhaps about what God's been saying to each of us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for these amazing words of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be like the wise man who heard what you were saying and who received you as Savior and then built his life upon you. Lord, help us wherever we are in our journey of coming to know you. Help us to take the next step and to trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. We pray in his name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Please feel free to share this podcast And if you'd like to be up to date with each week's talk, why not search Birkhead Free Church on your favourite podcast app and hit the subscribe button. For more information, go to birkheadfreechurch.org.